Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's day 100 something.
Locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine! Oh, I love it. That's a good one. Yep.
I mean, there's war in that movie, but what is that movie really about? Yeah. What are we doing? And what did some people do during this horrific thing? This chaos. And do you condemn them? Do you forgive them? That's one of those movies that you can watch once, maybe twice at best.
What, Casualties of War?
Oh, Casualties of War.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've seen it many times. It's I love it. And it's a hard movie to watch.
Right.
I can only watch it once every couple of years. But sure as shit, if I'm channel surfing and I come in and it's past all the worst scenes, I'm going to watch that fucking ending. I've seen the ending 1,000 times, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, for those of you who don't know what Casualties of War is about, spoiler, kind of, it's about a troop in Vietnam that kidnaps and rapes to death, like, an innocent, village girl. And Michael J. Fox is the one member of the fucking platoon that is, like, against it and won't do it and, like, tries to free her and tries to save her and shit, but they fucking... Well, anyway, I don't want to tell you what happens at the end. But, Dale Dye is in it, who's in, or affiliated with every military movie ever. He plays so many great speeches in it. But that movie is kind of a beautiful undoing to come back to what we were saying. It's kind of a beautiful undoing of several careers, It's the beginning of the end for Brian De Palma. It's kind of the beginning of the end for Michael J. Fox, because he did 3 movies in a row at that point that were all off-brand and were all, commercially not successful.
Is Bright Lights Big City in there?
Bright Lights, Big City. Yeah. He did Light of Day with Joan Jett, and he did Casualties of War, and they were all depressing movies.
Yeah.
And this is like the fun TV guy, the fun movie guy.
Teen Wolf.
So he did, Teen Wolf, Back to the Future, Family Ties, Secret of My Success. You know what I mean? This guy's, the guy. He's fun. Yeah. He's cool. He's not a cocaine addicted, writer.
Dude,
struggling to get over his divorce.
That was insane.
And I love that movie. That's a great undoing too.
Yeah,
movie,
we caught it like a couple weekends ago. We were just like looking through Prime, and I think it got suggested. So we put it on, and about halfway through, it was like, you want to go start doing the stuff around the house we were going to do? Because this is like really kind of like putting me down. I'm like, oh, I can't watch his nose bleed anymore, man. And like Kiefer Sutherland, like, what are you doing in there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just crazy. It was one of those things where I feel like you hear Bright Lights, Big City is used in a lot of song lyrics. It's used in a lot of taglines. It like sets up genres. And then you see the movie called Bright Lights, Big City, and you're like, shit, dude. I gotta go watch something else now, like immediately.
Although, one thing I got to say while we're on directors and the undoing of careers, I don't think any career was undone more beautifully, possibly, than Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, my God.
You know, to start out with RoboCop and Total Recall, and dude, fucking take my goddamn money.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, this guy is on some shit. I thought at that point, like, this guy could be the next fucking Kubrick or something, you know?
Wow.
And then, like, Basic Instinct. Like, okay, maybe he's going to be more like De Palma, but all right, lower the expectations a little bit. And then Showgirls is like, what the fuck? And I love Showgirls. Like,
me too.
It's so bad. I can't
defend
it.
Such a guilty pleasure movie. I love it. Between Esther House and him.
I think there's a documentary that's just came out called You Don't Know Me.
N-O-M-I. Know Me Malone.
Know Me Malone, right? So I have to see this documentary.
Yeah, I'm down. I've always been obsessed with Showgirls.
It's one of the most fucking fascinating, just kill your career movies. And then followed up with Starship Troopers.
I was going to say Starship Troopers. It's kind of like a little bit of a rise, but also 90210 in space compared to the novel it was based on. You know what I mean?
It really is. I'm glad you said that because everyone in that fucking movie is a 90210 leftover. I played like a teacher Brandon had an affair with. I played someone that was not that nice to Donna on like one date. Well, great. We're in a movie together, you know?
And I think it's like literally it was the only thing Casper Van Dien has ever really done, period, right? I think he's done voices for the cartoon movies that came out after that.
Starship Troopers.
Yes, Ian stepped away for a second.
Listen, sorry, I had to plug in my...
I love that he instantly knows what we're
talking. Starship Troopers goes to that category of, if you get it, it is the shit.
I love that.
If you get what Paul Verhoeven is doing in that movie, you're like, I'm on board. Here's my money. Let's do this. If you don't get it, if you don't get his humor within the horrors of war, that movie pisses so many people off.
It only pissed me off.
Say, Starship Troopers is either you're in or you're out.
Yeah,
I will always stand by either you're in or you're out with that movie.
Even when they killed Dina Meyer halfway through, and I was like, what the fuck? We just finally had these two get together. I remember at the time that was in the theater, my mom was engaged to someone she's not married to now, and I remember like his kids were around for the weekend, and it was all like, oh, let's all go see Starship Troopers, and I had already seen it once. So I was like, oh, yeah, man, it's going to be fine. The kids will love it. It's all action heavy. And then there's the one kid who was the one who was earlier into girls than the other two brothers. And as soon as they killed Dina Meyer in that movie, he stood up in his chair and screamed, God damn it, no! 11-year-old boy. And I'm going, I'm with that kid. What the hell? And I was like, well, I will never forget this. Like, holy crap. But then even after that happens, you're still in it because we still got Neil Patrick Harris as basically a Nazi warlord. You got Clancy Brown floating around in there. I loved Clancy Brown's dialogue in that movie.
And big, giant, freaking walking alien vagina going alien all over that freaking place. Come on.
More importantly, we got to talk about fucking Michael Ironside. All right?
Hell yeah, this dude.
He's one of those people that I consider to be just a pure actor.
More importantly, we got to talk about your Casio calculator watch that you're wearing.
This is one of my pieces of flair.
It looks like Ironside's robotic arm from Starship Troopers.
This fucking calculator watch. This little cross that I wear here, which I'm not religious, I'm just superstitious.
Yeah.
Because every time the watch breaks or dies or I lose it, same thing with a necklace, bad things happen. I used to have a dangly dagger earring, which is so 1980s, but I'm like just too old for it now. I don't.
What are you, one
that.
Of the lost?
I was gonna say, holy shit!
Well, yeah, that's what my friends used to always fucking say. That I'd come over and they'd be like, "Michael, join us!" Like,
you want
who wants
us,
to know?
Michael?
Mikey wants to know.
Improv line.
You're eating lice, Michael.
Yeah, how's maggots?
How are those maggots? Maggots, Michael, you're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Oh, those maggots. God dang it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Here, they're only noodles, so Michael.
But Schumacher, another one, another beautiful undoing of a career. Schumacher.
Rest in peace, man. Yes. Recent rest in peace on
recently,
that.
And, dude, every fucking thing that dude ever did other than Batman was pretty fucking brilliant.
True. I mean,
DC Cab, yeah. St. Elmo's Fire, The Client, shit. Fucking...
dude, 8mm? Falling
Down, the Number 23,
yes.
The Lost Boys. Oh. The Flatliners. Like, dude falling. Made some fucking solid goddamn movies.
Let me tell you, you want to hear something crazy?
Such a weird movie.
So I obviously have mentioned a couple times I have a certain connection to somebody who worked with Joel Schumacher on the legendary film The Lost Boys. And the last time I spoke to him, a couple days before Schumacher died, he was like, I'm working on getting to New York and you're going to come in and interview me and Schumacher together. And I was like, no shit. And literally 3 days later, Schumacher passes away. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me, man. Oh my God. But so we were close. Hollandine was close to having some actual Joel Schumacher content. But we could basically just say rest in peace, man. But his films have left an impression for sure.
I will never, you will have to pry my St. Elmo's Fire laser disc from my cold dead fingers. I have it on DVD and I have it on Blu-ray, but like there's just something about that laser disc that is a little bit more special to me than any other laser disc. And I have a lot of good laser, I have like Predator and Dirty Harry and Eddie and the Cruisers is one of my favorites. I've all Back to the Futures on laser disc.
Eddie and the Cruisers, wow.
Oh, dude, that's a fucking,
we got
Michael Paré. Yeah, we need a whole Michael Paré podcast at some point. I don't even want to uncork that can.
Yeah.
Although, Chris, I want to go back to Michael Ironside because I agree with you. That man, I know we're talking about directors, but Michael Ironside has not gotten the respect that that man has earned.
Yes.
That man has earned the respect. I mean,
yeah.
Scanners to freaking Total Recall.
Top Gun.
Black Ice. Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Oh my
Highlander
God.
2, The Quickening.
Highlander 2.
Oh God, got and that's a great, talk about a franchise and everything going off the rails.
Holy crap.
I just love, for always I fell in love with Michael Ironside with Scanners.
Yeah,
me too. The great scene, not even the head explosion scene, but that scene at the very end where, you know, him and his brother have the battle of the minds.
Yeah.
That's like, you cannot fall in love with Michael Ironside from
that. And he would show up in weird places. Like, he showed up in Terminator Salvation.
Yeah.
You know? He showed up in Major Pain for one scene.
Yeah.
But
he out-acted everyone else in the whole fucking movie in that one goddamn scene, you know? And I love Damon Wayans. I love all the people in that movie.
Yeah.
I love Karen Parsons. You know, he showed up. One thing I love about Michael Ironside, and he showed up and did his best in a stinker of a movie, The Next Karate Kid.
Oh, you know, my God. Academy Award winner. What's her name?
Yeah. Yeah. Hilary Swank was
Hilary
even trying
Swank.
On that one.
That's a totally bad time to blank on a name.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I love Hilary Swank, and I love that she did that and 90210. And like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, and I love that Ben Affleck was in Buffy as well. But
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
He has the only memorable lines in the movie is just him being like, McGowan, like, get in the bull ring, you know, just talking shit. You know, you have him show up and talk shit. It's the only thing that worked. You can forgive him for not being the great Martin Cove, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, he also, like, because I remember my first Ironside was Top Gun, right? So he's Jester, and it's like, you're the boss before the final boss of the bad game, of the video game. Like, the final bad guy of the video game is, like, Tom Skerritt's character. But here's Ironside playing Jester, and I felt like for a while, like, same thing with Richter. It's like, he's right next to the big bad of the whole movie, but he's also the guy who's just below and is definitely going to get killed before the big bad of the movie. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
so,
no, totally Michael Ironside needs the respect of all of you out there listening. Watch one of his movies. I'm sure there's tons streaming, but that's a great actor that has not had
Michael Ironside.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going want to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say. But again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters. Code Gold, command eyes only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically the xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
Well, for sure, yeah.
Okay, this is a badass name.
For you, Dave.
Yeah.
You like Michael Mann. Okay, do you prefer Manhunter or Red Dragon?
Oh, definitely Manhunter. Good question. For sure Manhunter, because I also liked William Peterson in that movie, and I am such an 80s guy. Like, I'm such a child of the 80s that everything about that movie, the 80s-ness of it, you know what I mean? Like, and there's something about it that is a little separated. I know with the Red Dragon, they brought the whole thing with the painting and the tattoo, but
yeah,
like, the fact that this was this, and it's, again, that sort of, like, it's walking just a little bit like a step over onto our side of the line of realism. I think Manhunter is an amazing movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's like, I wish they would splice those two together. Like, there's this ultimate movie out there. If
yeah.
Man, I feel that way with Red Dragon. Somewhere there's this great movie out there. I don't know.
I feel that way about, like, the last three X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Well, not counting Dark Phoenix. That's a throwaway.
First Class.
But yeah, First Class and was it
Days of Futures Past?
Days of Futures Past. I feel like if you combine those two
and Apocalypse,
maybe you throw away Apocalypse.
Yeah, you could throw away. Yeah.
but if you combine, you know, Days of Future Past and First Class, you might have a good movie there. The one, I don't know, neither of them worked that well for me. The Days of Futures Past worked great as a first-time watch, sort
yeah,
of.
But yeah.
The one thing I'm just really sick of is Magneto lifting a huge thing.
Right.
You know, I just think that's the most played out. Like, I mean, get creative with this guy. You can do anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really that big.
And you know what? I think I would have liked to have seen them transform Michael Fassbender a little more over the course of the film so that he started looking a little bit closer to the comic book version of himself too. Like, the not super long white hair, but the white hair, man. Make him look like young Rucker Hauer from Blade Runner. Like, that was, you remember way, way back in the day, like, Wizard Magazine did a if we ever finally get a live action X-Men movie, here are the people we want to play all the parts.
Oh, I didn't know this.
It was Patrick Stewart was the choice for Professor X, and I think that's probably why they got Patrick Stewart. But they were saying, like, Michael Dorn to play Bishop, because he has that sort of, like, deep, you know, he was on Next Generation at the time.
Oh, yeah,
Next Generation. And they said Rutger Hauer for Magneto, which was like, I was like, yeah, dude, that's genius.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that
Glenn Danzig for Wolverine, because he's short but also built, so it's kind of like the perfect. Okay. They were matching much more to the comic books, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was before the era of, like, well, the movie's going to be its own thing, and then we'll make those from now on.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of complaints when they finally made those movies, but I remember Patrick Stewart, and I was always thinking, like, even Ian McKellen was a good old Magneto, but for young Magneto, Fassbender was cool. I just wish they would have made him look a little more Magneto-ish.
Fassbender to me is the only thing about those, you know, newer movies that's really like, all right, yeah, I'll watch him do his thing.
Yeah.
You know? But the rest of it, like,
you know, McAvoy.
McAvoy's fine. He's okay, but he's not Patrick Stewart, you know? It's unfair to expect anyone to be that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's unfair to expect anyone to be Ian McKellen, just in the case of Michael Fassbender, like, he doesn't even have to do that. He's so good at being him that, you know, you forgive him. You don't even think about, oh, he's not Ian McKellen. You're just like, this guy's great, you know?
Yeah.
It's a simple test, you know?
Yeah.
You pass. If you're great, you pass, you know?
Why have they not been able to do...
He's fine. He's good. He's really good.
Why have they not been able to do Gambit? I have been wondering that for
yeah,
so long.
Yeah, dude, that kills me.
Yeah, well,
and I didn't
and
mind
nobody
the guy.
Has a good reason. I think it's just.
All right, here's why I think. Number one, because Channing Tatum made a big stink about taking it over. Oh, I want to be Gambit. I want to, like, that's a thing now. You can just do that. It's like, you know, it's like sports players can be like, well, I want to be in New York. And then like, 2 weeks later, they fucking got traded to New York. It's like, you just, this is the era we live in, right? You know, you're at the top. You can just say these things. So he's like, I want to be Gambit. They're like, we have a movie star that wants to be Gambit. We have to make a Gambit now. And then based on that motivation, they have no idea how to hire the right fucking person to write a Gambit script.
Jeez.
You know? If it was someone who was passionate about Gambit and passionate about film, they would look at the landscape and say, this is the fucking person to do it. I'm going to call him. And if I can't get them, I got the next best three lined up, you know?
Yeah. But then you have like the Jonathan Peters out there who are partly running Hollywood still, you know what I mean? And you're like, this guy's going to make sure there's a giant spider in whatever the fuck you make. So whether it's Superman or Wild Wild West, you know, and so that's the other thing you got to contend with too, is like all of this stuff that we can figure out that looks and sounds great on paper, you got to then show that paper to a group of people who all have to sign off or add their little pieces to it. And it's like so hard, you know, like I think that's the other thing about these directors we admire is that like they figured out a way to get through all that to get to the point where they can start doing, like, they make the call. There is going to be no influence of, like, well, the studio doesn't know where a Gambit should fit, so fuck you. You either make it this guy who we have on contract, and that's when you get Taylor Kitsch, you know what I mean? For
I thought he was fine, too.
Good. It's just that they didn't know what the hell they were doing with that movie either, right? So it was sort of like, we kind of fucked up Deadpool at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like, holy shit.
But that also leads back to what we were starting to talk about, the directors. You know, that era from, you know, I couldn't even really say when it started, but a lot of people say like from basically Bonnie and Clyde through the 70s till about Heaven's Gate. You know, that 70s was the time of directors really just being given the keys to the kingdom and saying, go do it. You know, we trust you, you go do it. I still remember hearing stories about William Friedkin on The Exorcist. Mm. I mean, if you really think about The Exorcist, and you could say in nowadays standards it wouldn't happen, but even then, that's a movie that really should not have been made, and every studio head should have said no. But it's within this time period where it was, oh, that's the guy that did French Connection? Yeah, give him what he wants. And Robert Evans is like, no, he's the director. Let him go do it. I wonder if these decisions, as you're talking about, like with John Peters and the producers and all this stuff, maybe it is time to let directors have a little bit of, not necessarily control again, but a little bit of, well, let's hear the director out. And I wonder if there's something to that, or if people are like, no, that's a stupid idea, because I know directors, that can be a stupid idea. but at the same time, I wonder that sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think the director era, like you said, it really did end with Heaven's Gate, and that really killed that era. And I always thought of it as the USC kind of crew that started it, but you're right, it was kind of Bonnie and Clyde. It had been going before that, and Scorsese, you know, these guys kind of came from different backgrounds a little bit. But, you know, in some ways, all the good parts of the director era died in terms of letting them have creative freedom and letting them have final cut and letting them, you know, do what they want to do and trusting them even when they couldn't, you know, see what they were describing. That went away, but then the dark side of it stayed, of that if this person makes us money, we don't care what the fuck goes on. If they're hurting people, if they're, you know, hurting careers, if they're doing other, you know, fucking, you know, if they're just screaming, and, you know, if they're, you know, and as much as I love like Stanley Kubrick, you know, I don't think it was necessary to fucking torture Shelley Duvall to make that movie. Yeah, I mean, is her performance amazing? Yeah, maybe you got extra performance out of her, but like the movie's brilliant movie. It still would have been a brilliant movie if she was like, you know, 95% is good, you know, 90% is good, you know. Yeah.
Well, I also think if we're calling you a hero and you are a, you know, considered one of these legendary visionary people, shouldn't you be able to get that without psychologically torturing somebody? You mean, like, as a director, is there not a way for you? There's no other way. Like, you have to be ripping one person and like shooting somebody else in the face and having an animal sacrifice in front of you.
You could be doing those things, and you could still get away with it. Look at what Roman Polanski's gotten away with.
Look at what
Bryan Singer got away with. I mean, that's recent, man. You know? And, you know, I was reading into it recently. I mean, John Landis kind of got away with a lot of shit. And their filmmakers' work I really admire, you know? But I didn't realize that the Twilight Zone thing was fucking crazy, dude. That shit's fucking nuts.
And
Have you seen Cursed Films in the episode?
No. What is this?
So Cursed Films is a Shudder show, and it goes over the idea now.
Yeah, that's, you got it. Shudder's awesome. We have Shudder.
And there's only like five or six episodes, and it focuses on an individual movie that has a curse attached to it. So
they do Poltergeist. Do they do Poltergeist?
Yeah, they do Poltergeist. Yes. They do The Crow. They did. You know, what else? The Exorcist.
Dude, there was an old True Hollywood Story on the Poltergeist. I'm still fucking trying to find it again on the internet, and the internet can't have it.
The internet doesn't have it. They've buried it then. Somebody was not happy about something that got said in that special. Yeah. Like, no one will see this again.
But you guys are going to kill me. My computer died.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's okay. Do we just need a little pause? We'll let you restart before we resume talking. It's cool. You know, I wanted to check, make sure my phone's juicing up here.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? The problem is, I don't know if it ended not recording, got rid of everything we just did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, are you using Skype Recorder? Like the Ecamm Skype Recorder plugin?
Because
that sucks that happened.
Dave, are you recording?
I am. I've got it. I haven't stopped.
He has you in lo-fi for the beginning.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, I can play with it. No, it's all good. I figured out a couple of filters and EQ settings that are going to help bring it up anyway. So it's
I'll bet you've gotten real good at cleaning up that shit, right?
Said it had 13% too, so I didn't think it was going to do that. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey, we are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra.
Absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well. So you can't see it on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got
yes.
it.
That's absolutely.
My
wife.
Still right got
my
it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen
the wife does. Oh, there you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We got to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Dylan Ted. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my God, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
Triumphant.
I want my $2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. Oh. But of course, I'm
never. We need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.